Blog Talk Radio. Well, good morning, everyone. Here we are back again on this beautiful, bright, sunshiny day to look at this book that we are sharing, The Duties of Parents by J.C. Ryle. Now, yesterday, just to quickly review what we learned yesterday, we were introduced to that guiding principle, Proverbs 22:6, and I hope that you will commit this Bible verse to memory, because it is one that is so important for every parent to be aware of. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. And then, of course, we discussed that really that verse is a call to duty for all who are parents, grandparents, or dealing with children. And it comes with a beautiful assurance and promise from God that if we train that child in the way he should go when he is old, he or she will not depart from it. Well, we also talked about that J.C. Ryle would impress in his book upon each one of us that we should all be taking a look inward concerning this idea of training and the hard, cold fact that so often the promise, the second part of the verse, the promise never comes to fulfillment. We see child after child growing up and not walking with God. And all of us are in great danger of coming short of our duty, the duty that is before us, each and every one of us, for the training of those children. And, you know, it's a little upsetting to think about, and yet J.C. Ryle ended that introduction that we went through yesterday. He ended it with an invitation and a prayer. And that invitation came out to all of us saying, come now. Let me, J.C. Ryle, place before you a few hints about right training. Well, today we are on page 3 in our little booklet, and we are going to be taking a look at hint number 1. Now, if you're in the download, I don't know how the pages are numbered, but what you'll do is just follow after the introduction to the number 1. It's like a little tiny chapter. And let's take a look at it. I'm going to read it word for word. The first hint. First, then, if you would train your children rightly, train them in the way they should go, and not in the way they would. Now, how many times do we see today, and I'm sure J.C. Ryle saw it 163 years ago when he wrote this little booklet, children who want to make their own decisions, who want to go their own way, who want to actually tell their parents the way to go. Well, in our second little tiny paragraph here, J.C. Ryle tells us why we must train our children in the way they should go, not in the way they would. And he says here, remember, children are born with a decided bias toward evil, meaning they are prone to be naughty. Children are prone to be naughty. And therefore, if you let them choose for themselves, they are certain to choose wrong. Now, in the next paragraph, that larger paragraph, he elaborates on this. And he talks about how mothers, when we have our children and we look at those tender little infants, we don't know how they may grow or what they may grow up to be like. They may be tall or short. They may be weak or strong. They may be wise or foolish. They may be any one of those things. Those things are uncertain. But one thing in the middle of that paragraph, and I would highlight this or underline it. One thing the mother can say with certainty is that he or she will have a corrupt and sinful heart. And why? Because it is natural for us to do wrong. Now, let's take a look at Scripture. J.C. Ryle will always give us a proof text, a Scripture from the Bible that will prove what it is he is putting forth. And here it is. Foolishness, says Solomon, is bound up in the heart of a child. Now that comes from Proverbs 22:15. Now I've got my Bible out and I have it opened right up to the Proverbs that we were looking at yesterday. We looked at Proverbs 22:6. Now this one about foolishness is just past the one that we looked at yesterday. Just go down a few verses and go to 15. And there we see it in the Bible, which we know is truth. And it tells us foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. It's bound in there. Now, what do we do about that? Well, let's keep reading here. A child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. Another proverb. Now, that one, you have to turn the pages and go to chapter 29 to find this one. And it is verse 15. I've highlighted all of these in my Bible. And we find out that a child left to himself will bring shame to his mother. So what do? We never leave that child to him or herself. And here are some hints about it. A further elaboration tells us that our heart, now this is a great simile, a great comparison. Our hearts are like the earth on which we tread. You let that heart alone, and it is sure to bear weeds. That heart, and this is true for adults and children, but for now we are focused on our precious children. That child's heart must be tended to, or weeds will grow in there and snuff out the goodness that could be planted by the Lord. The child's heart must be tended to and readied to receive the Lord. Now, in the next paragraph, here continues our hint. If then you would deal wisely with your child, you must not leave him to the guidance of his own will. We can't leave our children on their own with their own selfish wills to do as they please. That would be sinful on our own part. J.C. Ryle tells us, and this is so important, I have all of this highlighted. You must think for him, judge for him, act for him, just as you would for one who was weak and blind. But for pity's sake, give him not up to his own wayward taste and inclinations. Now this, we have to think about with our culture today. We look around and we see that many children today are left alone. Alone in homes, alone on the streets, alone in the parks. It's hard to believe with all the evil that is going on in the world, that parents would allow their children to be alone. But that is the case. And when they are alone, they are depending solely on their own will and their own thoughts, their own tastes, their own inclinations. And this is not good because they're prone to be naughty. And when they are home with their parents and the parents are there, the parents must be aware it is their duty to think and act and teach the judgments of the Lord, children. It must not be, says J.C. Ryle, to his likings and wishes that are consulted. Excuse me. For he knows not yet what is good for his mind and soul any more than what is good for his body. You must not let him decide what he shall eat. Now this I think we're much more aware of, that when we set a child down at a table to eat, we can't let them eat what they would like to eat, can we? Because what would they eat? Well, think about it. Are they going to want broccoli and potatoes, vegetables, fruits, all the great things that are good for them? Or would they prefer pizza, potato chips, M&Ms, a soda? Of course they would. That's a child's will talking from the heart. But we as parents, we don't allow that. We think for them. We act for them. We put before them what is good for them. But then let's go on here and look at what J.C. Ryle says. He says, we don't let them decide what they shall eat or what they shall drink or even how they will be clothed. We influence that, don't we, as parents? But we must be consistent. Highlight that. We must be consistent. And just as we deal with the physical needs of our children's bodies, we must also deal with their minds. In like manner, we must train those little minds in a way that is scriptural, according to the Lord, and right, and not in the way that he or she fancies. It seems as though it would be a simple thing to realize, but it is not. Many are lacking in that duty. Look what J.C. Ryle ends his first hint with. He really puts a little pressure on all of us parents and grandparents and lovers of children. He says, if you cannot make up your mind to this first principle of Christian training, let's review it. First then, if you would train your children rightly, train them in the way they should go, excuse me, and not in the way they would. He says, he concludes here, if you cannot make your mind up to this first principle of Christian training, it is useless for you to read any further. And then as we turn the page over to the very top of page 4, this is the final sentence of section 1. Self-will is almost the first thing that appears in a child's mind, and it must be your first step to resist it. Truth. Truth from the Lord himself. Now, that's it for today. Tomorrow, J.C. Ryle is going to continue on here. And he's going to talk about one real strategy that a parent has deep within his or her heart to use in the training of the child, in the resistance of the child's self-will. And that will be love. Love and tenderness, affection and patience. And we will continue with that tomorrow. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for each and every parent or grandparent, any and all, who love and spend time with children, who have tuned in to learn more of your will and your way for your children. Lord, we heard the question that J.C. Ryle posed yesterday. What will you do about this problem, parents? What will you, what can you do? Well, Lord, we're doing what we can. by listening in to the scripture lessons, to the writings of your servant, J.C. Ryle. Lord, again, impress them upon our hearts. May we grow in our ability to guide those precious young souls that you have put in our possession. May we have the strength to train them up to heavenly realms for you. Make them fit, Lord, for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Class of war, the train, so different than the fair.
Get on board.